Welcome to episode 9 of All of Your Business. These are the vulnerable, authentic, and unfiltered stories of business owners whose currents rise tides that lift all of our businesses, communities, and dreams. This episode brought to you in association with Refutees and Home Plate Youth Services. On this episode, we're speaking with Angela Anderson, founder and co-owner of Syndicate Wine Bar. And now your host, Michael Jonas.
So yeah, I'm glad that you agreed to be on the podcast. I love what you guys do, both with Canvas Host and with Syndicate, because, you know, your folks who did the B community, mm-hmm. you know, benefit companies and mm-hmm. B Corp sort of thing, years and years ago, mm-hmm. before now. And I think you're really good at seeing how there can always sort of be like a sustainable or social enterprise part of business. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of just talk about that? You know, how you decided business should have that component to it?
Give you a little bit of history. David owns Canvas Host for 17 years. They were one of the original B Corps in the Portland area. They've been a B Corp for over 10 years. Gone to Champions Retreats. He was at the forefront of the legislation with the state of Oregon back in 2013 to initiate the Oregon Benefit Company status. So he was one of the original signers on that and one of the original first group brought in as an Oregon Benefit Company with that designation. Its sustainability is always part of our principles. Diversity, inclusion, community, sustainability, it's everything that we are. I mean, we eat, sleep, and breathe it. Balancing people, planet, and profit. I think in this time, a day, it's sometimes you get too much into one and you forget the other. And we've been seeing that with a lot of different companies that want to try to balance it. But with the Oregon Benefit Company status, we've been fortunate to be in a group of people that really, really understand it, not at a greenwashing point of view, but more as a, this is our genuine way of life. We really do care about, you know, not only our community and our customers, but our employees. And then you think about the sustainability and sustainability. There's so many different definitions and what sustainability means and the different parts of sustainability. That when we started Syndicate, we actually went for Oregon Benefit Company status at the get-go of registering our company. We didn't want it to be any other way. Syndicate, in its definition, is a group of individuals working together for a common cause. And that's where the background of Syndicate is. We are a group of individuals where there's about 7 of us that work together on anything syndicate related. It's almost our advisory panel. And so we throw ideas from all different walks of life. It could be a photographer, a business consultant, my husband and I have been working in business leadership and management for over 20 years apiece. We've got winery owners and tasting rooms. We've got people from the medical field. I mean, it just people from all walks of life on this original group of Syndicate. And it's been beautiful process for the last 2 years. And then the added component of Syndicate is the customers. And they added that final component of that definition of a group of individuals coming together for a common cause. Now, in the time of pandemic and COVID-19, you really see that you need that definition. You need that sense of community more than ever, not only on the psychological level, but on the logistics level. The psychology of it is almost becoming bigger than the logistics because there's so much fear and there's insecurity and unemployment and pain and sickness, that the psychology and the health part is it's gray, it's hard, it's difficult, and it's big. It's big feelings. So we try to be that, what we created to be is to be that safety, that calmness in the storm for people. It's okay to feel you're fully accepted here.
Yeah, well, that's really beautiful. You know that people go there and they not only get to enjoy wine, but there's a community component to it. How did you go from, you know, doing Canvas Host to, okay, we want to open a wine bar?
It seems weird. And if you think about just that basic sentence, it seems weird. But actually, there was more math and there was more dream building that came into it. So 17 years ago, when David started Canvas Host, he also started a website called OregonWines.com. And he still owns it to this day. He is the main developer of that website. It's a little aged, but he wanted OregonWines.com to be the main source of education for everything that had to do with Oregon wineries. And it is. It's like starting at Wine 101 and going from there. And so that has always been like his off project on the side. And he's been tinkering around with it, adding things through the years. And then about 5 years ago, probably a little more than 5 years ago now, we started doing websites specifically for restaurants and wineries. And then I joined the team full time. I graduated with my MBA in 2012. And I started a couple years ago doing some business consulting for a lot of these wineries. And we started talking about budgets and margins and different things, return on investments and finances and training new bookkeepers, different things like that. And so we started building websites for wineries and restaurants, and then we started doing business consulting for wineries and restaurants. Plus, we've also been running Green Drinks, which is our sustainability networking group. David's been running that for about 10 years now. So people started pressuring us, saying, hey, you guys know a lot about wine. You know a lot about bringing people together. You know a lot about networking. Have you ever thought about opening your own wine bar? And of course, just at the mere suggestion of that, my husband's light bulbs went on going, oh my gosh, we totally could. Because then we're a centralized location for all these things that we've been doing for 10 years. And we can run it all out of a brick and mortar wine bar at night, but do a lot of our business consulting during the day at the same location. Big screen TVs, we could do business meetings or consulting. Yeah. I found that the biggest thing in business consulting with wineries and restaurants is coming on site. The dynamic with employees changed when a consultant is known to be in the picture. So having a neutral place to meet with an owner or a manager that no one knows that you're consulting with them actually is better, because the dynamic and the culture of the internal structure doesn't change as much, and they can do it in pure confidence and be a little bit more open and humble in some of the things that are going wrong that they would like to have fixed. So having an offside location for that consulting was the dream and the wine bar at night. And that's how it came to be. So it's much different than just a website company going into a wine bar. There's much more of a bridge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it helps that you have relationships in that industry, but you also care about how the people, the wines that you're featuring, you care about how they're doing mm-hmm. business. You want to make sure that you pick those. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like how you...
My husband is our wine curator, and he is 1 week away from testing for his level 3 SOM certification. So he's level 2 right now. He's very diligent in who he selects and what labels he selects to be on the wall. So right now we want an equal representation of... one third of the wall is Oregon. One third is what we call regional. So that'd be Washington, California. And one third of the wall is international. We want to make sure that there's some diversity in the wines. And so you can start off with something you know and explore into something you don't know. He picks specifically when it comes to Oregon. He wants to diversify not only the label that we carry, but also the varietal and vintage. So we don't have too many Pinots from Oregon, which Oregon is very, very well known nationally for their Pinots. But we want to make sure that we are representing small labels that don't make Pinot, but they're here locally. We try to have a huge representation of labels that aren't represented by the distributor. So they really need that extra help and then extra boost to get their name out there. So you're not going to see wines on you can see in the grocery store. You're not going to see wines on our wall that, I mean, you'll see a little bit of name. No, we definitely favor B Corps. So the Stoller, the Kinderly, some long-term relationships with those companies. And especially when it comes to sustainability, you kind of have to look at what they're doing and kind of elevate them, because they do believe we do. Trying to get in because of COVID, or what he calls, which would be great for a lower point.
Yeah.
Request. Now it opens 50 wines on the wall that he calls high, which is close at lower cost. So we're meeting the needs of our customers. So that's
the best. Yeah, it's good that, well, it's good that there's a variety. Mm-hmm. And then I know that you have food there.
We do have food there. We did it locally sourced. We did it. We have a heating element in. Just have a lot of time. Fresh vegetables, market, cheeses, we get our supply from New Seasons. We are having to change our model because of COVID-19 is one, and the increased costs in food and meat. So Syndicate 2.0, we won't be having for the summer, we won't be having a kitchen. People can actually go to the restaurant in our district to get takeout and come and reserve a table at Syndicate. I feel like it's a better part of local restaurants for our OC license. We don't have food. We want to encourage frequenting those small businesses, because there's not a single business in our district that's a chain. And in one location, two locations in our area, we're all top entrepreneurs. So we felt like this evolution of Syndicate, with really lifting up that are there and us concentrating on the world, I feel like it's a better partnership.
Yeah, that's really great. That's also a creative way for people to utilize those other businesses, mm-hmm. You know, and have more of a sense of community.
I mean, it's a block or a half of 5 restaurants, so you can reserve and be sipping on wine and then send somebody over to pick up your food when it's ready. It's 10 steps at the most. And there's so many great. I mean, we added a new Burmese restaurant across the street and the food is phenomenal. So we want really people to try the cuisine of those that are the experts at food. And we'll just stay being an expert at wine. And that's going to be our summer evolution. I know some of our customers may be sad because they miss our charcuterie boards, but it's okay. I think this evolution, I think it will be warmly greeted, but I also think it's also our neighbors too. One of the things that we're going to be promoting is we can give you a wine pairing for pretty much any dish that's on this street for any other fellow restaurant, because we've done it ourselves.
Yeah, that's really great.
I was like, oh, you're getting chicken from Big's Chicken? Here's a soft blanc that we would pair with what we have.
Yeah, that sounds good. The Burmese food sounds good. I haven't had that in a while.
It's not. We are so happy to have them as neighbors, because they literally are right across the street, and we've gone there a couple times. We've just, David really loves their ginger salad. it's I think it's going to lift up and build community more than what our original iteration of Syndicate was. And it's coming back to the community point of let's really elevate each other to bring it together instead of compete. Let's collaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some challenges or struggles you've had or failure.
I get preheated right now. There's a major challenge. The major challenge we're having right now is with the government funding of the PPP loan. This is a broken program. So long story short, when you apply for the PPP loan, you have to tell them how many employees you have. Okay. That seems like a logical question, but it doesn't classify part-time employees, 1099 employees, full-time employees, owners, sole proprietors. My husband and I own this company together, and we put in the bulk of the hours. Plus, in January, we had three other staff members complementing so that, you know, we weren't burning the candle at both ends, or we could take one day off a week. The way it's written right now is you have to have the same amount of employees as you did back in January, or you need to bring back the same amount of employees that you had in January, or they don't forgive. So you have to be spending 75% of your loan funds on payroll, 25% on rent and utilities. The way they applied our payroll is they based it on the entire 2019 year. We were only open half of the year. So our monthly payroll, they only allocated us half. With half, you cannot bring back a full-time employee. The dollars don't add up. Sense. The dollars just don't add up. So you look at it. So it's going to have to be David and I. We can't bring back any employees. David and I were full-time. We weren't ever taking a salary from Syndicate. We were never getting paid. We were only ever paying our employees. We were never paying ourselves. So now what do you look at for the forgiveness plan if you are self-employed? They're not real clear on that. And this program right now is an 8-week window from the day you get the funds to the day you start your forgiveness plan. And I've done the math several different ways, up and down and backwards, and there's no way that we could qualify for the forgiveness. So this loan is amortized over five years, and the payments start on the 7th month. Well, many small businesses aren't open. And we're having to run, if we are open, we're having to run at 50% capacity. So now you have a loan payment on top of 50% or less revenue. We're down 75% of what we were when we were open. So now it's like, okay, we're down 75% of our monthly revenue. And now we have a loan payment that we can't get forgiveness on. So the loan payment, the PPP loan itself really screws the small business owner that is the sole prop. And the owners and managers are running the hours and they're not pulling a paycheck because they can't, because they're an LLC. So I don't know what we can do. I really don't know what we can do. Thankfully, they didn't give us a lot because they based it on a full 2019. And we were only open 6 months, but it's really difficult. It's really difficult on the financial side to put this all together mathematically. The only way, and again, we run two businesses. The only way for us to make it through the summer is that David and I are the only two employees. Doesn't mathematically work when you're down that much revenue.
Yeah, and how do you run two businesses
at the same time? One is 24/7, mind you, and international, and the other is our wine bar. So we are working 7 days a week. We are getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's a load of tickets, either billing or support tickets. Thankfully, we have a really great team at Canvas Host, but there's only five of us to run an international company. So it does take all five of us. Person is down. It's a pretty heavy load for the other four of us. So if Syndicate doesn't have that many hours, we're just trying to be very strategic with the hours that we have to be open when the community wants us to be open and there is foot traffic. But that's also a guessing game.
So would the answer be, to widen the ability to get forgiven, you know, to use that for operational costs or other things.
You can only use up to 25% on ops costs. 25% of that PPP loan can be used on rent and utilities. So using their math, I look at how much they gave us to be allocated per month times by 25%. We are looking at only $600 can be used for ops costs. I can tell you right now, our rent is more than that.
So hopefully they change that and there's a little bit more flexibility in those numbers.
Yeah. And I'm on a board with restaurant owners and managers nationwide. And this is a nationwide problem. There's a lot of restaurant owners and managers that are bigger than us, but they're also guys that are very upset about this program because a lot of when you own a restaurant, you're working a lot of the hours yourself. We couldn't afford to bring back employees because they make more in unemployment right now. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I did the math on the 75% that can be used for payroll divided by the hours that syndicates open. That's less than minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, they get the additional $600 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of restaurants are having a difficult time bringing back employees because they're making more on unemployment or figuring out how to mathematically justify the PPP forgiveness plan, which if you look at the logistics of it, the money was loaned out to small businesses before they had actually solidified the forgiveness plan. So that itself, and I do come from a finance background. That was where I was at before I came on full-time with Canvassos. So I'm always thinking of the numbers and I'm like, okay, I spreadsheet this, spreadsheet that. Let's flip this number. Let's look at this number. And with us being down 75% of our weekly revenues, there's not much that we can do. I mean, we're looking at transforming into Syndicate 2.0 just to be able to keep our doors open. And thankfully, I mean, David's brother has owned a restaurant for 20 years. We have his brother as a sounding board. His brother is still not open. He has not been doing takeout. He's like, it just doesn't pencil for me to do takeout right now. So we have him as a huge sounding board, and he's such an encourager and has been since the beginning. But I feel like there's a lot of like roads we're trying to go down. And again, it goes back to our Tony Stark board. Trash that idea because it's a brick wall we're running into. Okay. That's not going to get us. That's why margins on food, when you're a restaurant, you're looking at a 6% margin if you're lucky, COGS to revenue. And so we're like, okay, so this, and then with the rising costs for meat that are going up everywhere, it's like, okay, let's elevate and lift up the restaurants. Let's get out of that and let's focus on the wine. Because that's difficult as it is. We don't need to add more competition to it's already stifled industry when there's so many restaurants on our street. But the math, it just doesn't work out right now. And then restaurants are starting to come forward in the Portland area. They're saying it doesn't pencil for us to open. Is the way that restaurants work. You have about a 70 to 80% occupancy. Even.
Well, don't you have to use the PPP within 8 weeks of getting it or something like that? So that's also a concern because not everybody would necessarily be.
And I can use all of mine. I can use mine, but I won't be able to be given. Because you start the forgiveness process week 7, and to meet the terms of the forgiveness, you bring back the same amount of employees in January. And again, they didn't clarify a full owner part-time. So we had 4, you will not have 4 when we start that 7 week, the 7th week forgiveness process. Because I can't hire people back for $10 an hour. That's not a livable wage.
Yeah.
It's not fair to employees. We don't even pay that. Even if there was no pandemic, that's just way below livable wage. We paid way above minimum wage because we really think about what is, we want them to feel like they're worth a lot to us. And so 8-10 below minimum, we're going to do it. That's a joke, and it's insulting.
Yeah, well, it seems that, you know, you having experience with numbers is helpful in the situation. Not that it's always helpful, but you know without guessing, okay, this is just not going to work. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so this campaign to see if we can get community support is going to be everything to us because we didn't want to do a GoFundMe campaign because we wanted the community to say, hey, if you're going to support us, we want you to know what you're supporting, not just putting into a fund. You're putting into a fund that you see what your money paid for. So with this sponsor a table, you can see that the table is going to be there. The table is allowing us to extend our outdoor footprint, and it's allowing us to provide service in a way that we can't right now because indoor seating is that limited. So this is the only way to sustain the business. And having the sponsorship program, I feel like it's going to be the community's way of helping us open up an opportunity that's not there.
Yeah, well, I just have a weird question for you. So I read that on your website that you were hosts and you guys have done catering and kind of done all the other, you know, and I worked in restaurants for like 10 years, and I'd say most of what I learned about people is from working in restaurants and bars. So how does that help you as a business person, like having that hands-on experience that you had years ago as either a host or a caterer?
Yeah. So I worked in fine dining at a fine dining restaurant. I think it started when I was 17, and I think I left there when I was 19. But I worked mostly as a host. It was a busy restaurant. It was overlooking Lawrence Gallery out on Highway 18. The restaurant's no longer there. But so we had a lot of people that came in either on wine tours or they came in that were exploring the gallery. So part of our seating overlooked the wineries and the other half overlooked the gallery. It's managing tables and customer expectations. I did a lot of in floor management, customer management. We had days where we had waits up to 45 minutes because of tables. We had certain days or holidays that were busier than others. We're going back to that hostess model at Syndicate. Where you're greeted right at the door with a hostess station that'll be able to tell you how long the wait is, tell you what we have available. That is the check-in place, and that's where the contact tracing is going to happen. So if you're wanting a table, you're going to have to put your name in a reservation book. And it's more of the greeting within the first 5 seconds of crossing the threshold of the door. That was really, really important in fine dining. We're not going fine dining because we're not going to be kitchen anymore and we're not going to be dining anymore. But that level of presentation and the details that went into that, David's really gotten into the presentation of wine and the way it should be presented to the customer and the connoisseur and the presenting of the label and the talking about it and the education. So he comes at it from that catering side because he's worked IPNC at Linfield College, the International Pinot Noir Festival. And so he did that. And that, his catering experience is all about the details. It is all about the details. From my hostess training, it was all about the details. To the presentation of a plate with how you're presenting the food and how it's plated, to the presentation of the table, to the dining room, to the aesthetics, to lighting, to all the different details that go into a restaurant are hugely important. My background, my MBA is in organizational dynamics and how little things can all add up space or an agitated space. You bring in that experience from fine dining and catering, and it all comes together in this big old master plan to make sure the customers are comfortable, feel educated, feel supported, feel accepted, and feel the sense of They understand me.
Yeah.
So it's a nurturing thing.
I don't think people always realize all the details or thought that goes into things. Sometimes mm-hmm. things appear very simple, but they're actually thought through mm-hmm. in a really intentional way.
Yeah, and we actually, when creating Syndicate, everything is very intentional. The lighting was self-made by David. The countertops and the bar slabs were self-made down to every small little detail of those countertops. He's added some new display racks. The entire wine wall was built by him. The flooring, everything from the paint colors to the lighting to the tables to the textures, everything was specifically designed for a reason. And that's when, as we're evolving to this new outdoor floor plan, there is a lot of thought that goes into every small detail, because that outdoor footprint can't be there past our hours of operation. So it has to be broken down and brought inside as to not damage the parking availability for the daytime businesses. So whatever we put up, at 8 o'clock, we have to start breaking down and bringing it inside. So it needs to be movable. It needs to be not too heavy that he and I could put it back together. And it's not like 180 pounds. It's more 75 pounds. And it's movable inside the shop. It's not going to scratch the floors. I mean, details all are circulating right now. It's like, it's not as easy as just buying a table.
Yeah,
if it was absolutely. Just that what's easy, it would be, we would be done already.
What's it like working so closely with the person that you're with? I mean, do you guys ever drive each other crazy and need a break? you work very closely.
We are with each other 24/7 and we run two companies together. So to say that it's rainbows and butterflies all the time is delusional. It's not. It's, and there's not many people that in a married space could navigate two businesses, 7 days a week and raising three sons, and a house and rental properties together and still keep their minds about and wits about them. But David and I have, 30 years of friendship before we even got married. So we've known each other a very, very long time. He knows me better than anybody. I know him better than anybody. So yeah, there are times where we do irritate each other. But it's picking your battles and finding a quiet space. And I mean, it's knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses and, patience, grace. That's really the best advice I can give. And that's how we navigate it. Sometimes it's, sometimes we definitely disagree on things. You're going to, if you work in that close confines with your partner, for that many hours a day, but there's such a thing as taking a walk. There is such a thing as listening more than you speak. Those have been, we're quarantined together too. So. But it's really when you start getting angry and upset, you start, if you can really push yourself in an angry moment to think about, there are no bad intentions. It's a breakdown of communication. Let's look back at what are the things that we're doing well, instead of just the few things that we're frustrated about. Let's go back to the basics of, hey, these are all the things, and be thankful for the things that we have been doing right. Let's just take a stop, take a moment, and relax, breathe.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for a relationship, or just in general, highly ambitious people, mm-hmm. you know, sort of find the problems because they want to fix the problems.
Yeah, and we have two different ways to fix the exact same problem. And when you have two different ways to fix the exact same problem, whose idea are you going to go with at the end of the day? Because there needs to be a tiebreaker.
How did you two meet? Was it at work? Or?
Actually, no. That's the funny story. But it's people just laugh at us. So we met at band camp. I'm not joking. We met at a camp. We were 14 years old, music, arts, and drama camp. And we both played in the band. And then a year after that freshman year of camp, he ended up moving to my high school. And we had been friends in high school and hung out a bunch. And basically, we're just friends in high school. We graduated together. He was in Boy Scouts with my cousin. My dad sponsored him and was there with it when he got his Eagle Scout. So I was there many of his family events. So he actually got pretty close as a friend with me, and then my dad too. Go to college, go our separate ways, get married, have our own separate kids. We lost touch with each other for a good 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
And then my dad passed away 10 years ago. And my mom's like, hey, before my dad passed away, she's like, I need you to reach out to those that dad really meant a lot to dad. And you need to reach out to David because dad really liked him. And I'm like, yeah, I remember. I remember dad liked him a lot. I remember. So it's kind of emphasized a lot for my father. And David wasn't able to make it because he had family commitments, for those final days. But I mean, he's always regretted that he wasn't there those final days, but he showed up at my dad's funeral and like the whole community did. And, you know, fast forward 2.5 years after that. And, you know, we just started hanging out more. And
yeah.
You know,
were both of you divorced?
Yeah.
At that point?
We didn't really talk much during our divorces. We didn't talk much when my dad started getting ill. I was divorced not long after my father died. And, you know, being single mom and raising two sons that are late elementary school, middle school, here in the Beaverton area, was, you know, it was interesting, but I stayed to myself quite a bit. But you know, we gave each other space for, just to handle our own family issues. And I handled mine and he handled his. And once that was all done and said, then, you know, where does life take us? I don't know. You just be thankful for every day you have. It was deeply affecting with my dad's passing for all of us.
Yeah.
But I mean, thankfully our families have known each other forever.
That is wild that you've known each other since you were
14 years. I'm 14 years old. Yeah. And I turn 45 in a couple weeks. So that's 31 years that we've been friends. So we age ourselves. So, you know, he's got a, you know, my ex-husband here lives here locally. And so, when my boys were going through high school and graduating high school, my ex-husband and David, they shake hands. They're all in the same events together and everybody's cordial and cool. So, yeah. That's the story of Ange and David. We've kind of been friends forever. My boys actually say, Mom, you guys set the standard pretty high. I don't know many people in this world that will have 30 years of friendship before they get married. And
yeah.
I said, yeah, that's kind of rare.
Well, and that's potentially part of why you're able to work together. But
mm-hmm.
I think in general, in a relationship, people need to have friendship.
Of course. It's huge. I mean, and that's what I think that's what makes it so that I can work with my spouse so much is there is that deep, deep foundation of friendship that was forged over many decades that I know what's in his core and he knows what's in mine. And that's the friendship part of it first. It's like, are you being a good friend? We've gone to class reunions and people thought it was weird that we were together because they were like, no, I thought you guys were brother and sister. Like, no, we weren't. We weren't brother and sister all those years. I'm afraid to tell you that.
That's no. Funny.
So it was kind of weird at our 20th class reunion when we went, people were looking at us kind of weird. But you know, we have that friendship with us. And I mean, he has his son from his previous marriage and I have my two sons. And, so we do have the three boys. They're quite, they're 22, 20 and 14. So they're three different human beings.
Yeah.
And we love them all the same, going through their own different challenges and their own different life journeys.
Hope you're enjoying our interview with Angela Anderson of Syndicate Wine Bar, but we'd like to take a moment here and give a shout out to our sponsors, Refuteez. Refuteez are inspiring graphic messages and reminders to be better and spark positive conversation about refugees. Refuteez raises awareness through storytelling talks, collaborations with cause-driven organizations, and merchandise. Refuteez, we're all from somewhere. Get access to all of their content and merchandise at refuteez.com. We also want to thank Home Plate Youth Services. Home Plate supports the positive development of young people experiencing homelessness or housing inability through community building, education, access to services and resources, and youth empowerment. To find out more about Home Plate Youth Services, go to homeplateyouth.org. And now back to our conversation with Angela Anderson of Syndicate Wine Bar.
So I'm glad that you decided to do this, I don't know what you want to call it, check-in, update, whatever. Because the last time we were talking and the other part of the podcast, you were just about to reopen. And I think you were doing sketches of what the parking lot tables would look like.
Yeah.
You weren't 100% sure how that would go, how, you know, what would be. Well, we probably thought that it would get approved. But so can you kind of just give me an update of that uncertainty to where you are now? It seems like things are going pretty well.
Yeah, so June 1st was when we opened for phase one, and our landlord gave us permission to use the first bay of parking spots and through July 4th weekend on a temporary status because he wanted to see how it would work and make sure that our fellow tenants in our building weren't inconvenienced and their business wasn't inconvenienced. So we took the leap. We have four tables spread out between six parking spots. So there's pretty much a 6 to 8 foot berth, if not more, on the tables in the parking lot. And each one has their own umbrella. And they're all dog friendly so that people can bring their pets and have a dog dish. And we set up and break that down every single day. So you've got your boundaries set because of the requirement for OLCC, plus you've got your tables. Those became really hot commodity because it extended what we couldn't do in the dining room out into the parking lot. About mid-June, the outdoor air street seating program from the city of Beaverton started. We knew it was coming, and they started taking applications so that we could take some parking spots that are parallel parking on Watson Street or on First Street. And so we petitioned to take three in front of our building, one in front of the building and two in front of the parking lot, and move or create additional seating that would double the capacity of what we already had in the parking lot. And so David came up with these sketches, and he is a very creative person. And sometimes I'm a more reserved, conservative person. And so these sketches came up with these cabanas and these parrots and these beach balls, and I'm like, this isn't gonna work. And then he's like, you gotta trust me. And then he's got ivy to make it so that the orange barriers don't look so disgusting. And I was probably the believer that was slowest to the curve, and then he just looks at me and he's like, you gotta trust me, this is gonna work out. And so that added another 20 more seats. Wow. So that added 20 more seats, and we didn't want to have it really, really tight because most people come in twos or fours. So we wanted something that was accommodating to what the current customer demographics are. We don't really have big parties of more than four. Sometimes we'll have a six, but most of the time it's twos and fours. So he created these cabanas on the street seats and added umbrellas. We had a lot. He had a lot of problems with red tape with the city. Things that they asked us that they didn't ask other businesses on our street about. We weren't allowed to have umbrellas in our tables on the two spots in front of the parking lot because of clearance for the stop sign, whereas other businesses weren't even asked that question. And they have umbrellas that are blocking a stop sign. Then we were also asked about what chairs we were going to have, whereas other businesses weren't even asked to have their chairs approved. So it got to be quite frustrating. And my husband, who has a great sense of humor, he's like, all right, fine. We'll just jump through all these red tape hoops. We understand we're being treated differently. And at one point in time, he was kind of mad. And he's like, is this because we're a woman-owned business that you're treating us differently? And like an hour later, our permit was approved. So I don't know if him dropping the nugget, we're a woman-owned business, helped or hindered. I don't know. But he was just like, this is ridiculous. And so now we have this parrot that is pretty much his way of having some humor against all the red tape. It is a red parrot. And so today we're thinking of naming him Red, as in red tape, just as our way of saying, you know, even though we had all these red tape issues, we still overcome, we went above and beyond, and still we made it look good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I think it's really great that you're talking about that, because I don't think people realize in normal times you have to go through all that red tape, and then you add the pandemic rules on with all the different agencies, and there's all sorts of additional things you have to do.
Yeah, he definitely, every day it seemed like we got a new email from the city. Oh, you got to put reflectors on. Oh, you can't have this above 6 feet. Oh, how come you have fencing on the outside of the orange barriers instead of the inside? Every day. And then some days it was like every hour we were getting stuff from the city. In the end, it is what you see right now. And everybody is so happy. On Friday and Saturday night, it is a packed house. Of course, a socially distant packed house, because we keep everybody pretty well spaced. The good and the bad of this is that we are definitely getting our workout in, because everything is so spaced out. We're walking about 5 miles a day in a 4-hour shift. So there's a lot of endurance that it takes now for those busy shifts.
Now, do you have to break down everything or just the tables that are in the parking lot?
Just the parking lot has to be broken down so that the daytime businesses have a full parking lot to use. The street seats don't, but for OLCC standards, they need to be that nobody can sit in them after hours, because if somebody is sitting in your street seats past your permitted time for OLCC, you can be hit with a violation. So the cabanas are broken down and locked up so that nobody can actually sit in them when we're not there.
I see. And there, is it with some sort of wire lock or?
It's like a big bike lock. Yeah. We stack them on top of each other and it's like a big bike lock, and then it's all wrapped around so that nobody, I mean, you clearly cannot sit in them because they're on top of each other. And you can't take them anywhere because it's about 100 pounds of wood with those cabanas stacked in there. But you, at least we don't have to take them in at night, where we still have to take the parking lot in at night. But that's all right. But it's temporary, and it's, the customers love it. So we're willing to take a little bit on us to have something that's psychologically safe, and people feel safe. They feel like they're far enough away from other guests. They're not in a crowded dining room. They're not indoors. So all these different things hit the psychology of the consumer. And that's where my brain comes from. And David's got a creative brain. So you hit the psychology and the creativity together. And that's what this creation has evolved to.
Well, and one of the things I really love is the community collaboration part. You know, on your actual wine menu, you have suggested food places in the area. And then people literally bring whatever kind of food they want to the wine bar and eat whatever they want. And, you know, when we were there, David even told us, he's like, if you wanted to go to New Seasons and make your own picnic, whatever you want, you can bring here. So can you talk a little bit about that, like how that came about?
Yes. So that came about when so phase one, you're only limited to 50% occupancy inside. So that takes out half the tables for every area of restaurant. And we have 8 area restaurants within a 1-block radius. So we technically on OLCC standards don't have to have a kitchen and we don't have to serve food because we're not a full bar. So we decided to do this model and then on the menu have all the restaurant names, their websites, and their phone numbers so that their seating gets expanded, but also there's that overlap of more seating for us, but also more seating for them. And that's the collaboration of the customer base. With 8 different restaurants in a 1-block radius, that's a lot of different food experts. So variety of cuisine in that 8-block radius is huge. I mean, you've got everything from Korean to Mediterranean to Burmese to pizza and pub to ribs and chicken to pastas. You've got so much variety. And then we have a sushi bar coming in and the ramen place just opened. So let's let the experts, when it comes to food, be the experts for food. And then we'll be the experts for wine. And David can pretty much pair a wine, if not multiple wines, to every different entree that is on any menu up and down that street.
Yeah. Well, we know because he's brilliant. We actually were asking him about the years and if it was a good year. And we were kind of just joking, but he was like, actually, let me tell you about that year.
he knows wine, he knows vintages, he knows varietals, he knows regions. He prides himself on being a student of the industry. And some regulars come in and they don't even look at the menu. They just say, I want what David recommends today.
Yeah. Well, I think that collaborating is really smart and, you know, extremely beneficial, not just for you, but the other businesses. And then the people who are there, who are customers. I mean, what if two people want to eat at a different restaurant? I mean, that's possible.
Yeah. And we have had that happen. We have somebody that gets a pizza down at Maya La Rosa and someone that gets vegan from Burmese and they're all at the same table. And it just, it helps in that psychology of the consumer too. We're feeling insecure because of a lot of things that are going on in the world right now, but let's approach that insecurity and let's address it and let's create this sense of calmness and this sense of you're going to be okay. You're safe. And you can have your own personal choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is you deserve to relax. I think that, you know, when we're there, that's how we feel. You know, after a really long work week, all that's in the news, it's good to just sit and drink wine.
It really is. It's like, and we have beer options, we have non-alcoholic options, but we have such a chill environment that we have some customers last week saying, this is the one place I actually feel comfortable right now. I feel at ease. I feel like I can let my stresses of the day go. And when we built Syndicate over a year ago, that's what we wanted. And we still have it even in a time of COVID. So that feels good for us because I feel like our mission and vision that we wanted a year ago is still, even in a time of a lot of strife in the news, we still have that place where people can leave their stresses and their worries at the door and just sit back and enjoy a glass of wine and the sunshine and the clouds. I mean, just the simple things of life and a cheesy parrot. I mean, heck, it's a cheesy parrot. It's the laughter. Laughter can really help a lot.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that parrot. I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like this is really cheesy, but, you know, instead of Polly wanting a cracker, Polly wants a permit.
Polly wants a permit.
So it sounds like there's a lot of pandemic silver linings for you and reflectiveness.
Yeah, and I think, you know, David and I have talked about it a lot, is if we have to stay in phase 1 for a while, we're okay, because this is our phase 1 model. And we're doing very well in this phase 1 model. So phase 2, whatever decisions are made, minus completely shutting down restaurants and small businesses again, we're going to be all right. There's things that are happening in California and Washington right now where they're shutting down indoor dining. That's fine because we don't have any indoor dining. So if that's the direction that California and Washington are going and Oregon ends up following, we're still okay because we don't have anybody. We've already made that restriction on our own place.
Yeah. And part of being okay is you took the time to,
you know, breathe, plan, breathe some more, be experimental, be creative. It's hard doing that. I mean, especially in these times, but I think you and David are both wanting to move forward with things. So you sit there and you go, okay, well, what do we have to do?
Yeah. We're starting our thought process now of what happens when the weather gets bad and the rainy season starts mid to late September. Because if it rains, we are not open, of course. I mean, there's no way we can operate if it rains. So right now we're just thankful for every day that it's sunshine outside, because we haven't figured out our next plan and our next iteration yet.
Yeah, maybe some sort of party tent and a heater.
Yeah. And we've already been told by the city's red tape that we can't have tents out on those three parking strips. So the only place we could tent would be the parking lot. And that would have to be taken down every night. So we're like, okay, so there's got to be some other creative options. And we'll go back to the drawing board with our landlord and the other two tenants to figure out something. But we have a little bit of time.
Well, yeah, knowing that it's mid-July and you're thinking about that now is an excellent, excellent time planning. Well, I really appreciate you talking with me, you know, in June and then also here in July. The last thing I just wanted to ask is how do people find you? How do people book? I know you have an online reservation system. So mm-hmm. Say someone's thinking, you know, I want to go visit Syndicate Wine Bar. What would someone do?
The best thing to do and the easiest way to do it is to go to syndicatewines.com/reservations. That is the online booking system. It is a plugin from OpenTable. And as soon as a reservation is booked, both David and I have alerts on our phones to let us know that a reservation has been booked. But that is the easiest place. You can search for us on OpenTable, but I would definitely recommend people going through our website /reservations. There's also a toolbar at the top of our website that says reservations. That is the easiest. All of our seating is outdoor. So if you log in and you're making a reservation, just know there's an asterisk next to every time slot that says outdoor seating. We get people that are putting special notes in there, like for a birthday party, or can I have one of the far-reaching tables because I have a dog and I don't want to disrupt anybody, or we have people requesting the wine cabanas through their reservation on that open table system. So really it's capturing any special circumstances are captured through that reservation system.
Well, great. We have our five questions that we ask all podcast guests. So I'm going to ask you these.
Sure.
The first question, can you hear me okay? I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the first question is, if you weren't doing this business, what business would you be doing?
I would probably be doing more business consulting because I actually like that the most. Advocacy for those refinancing their house. Like there's not enough of that. And I used to be an escrow officer back in the day. I feel like a lot of borrowers, when they go into the refinance process, they don't know what questions to ask or how to use the right words. And so they're getting different answers to different questions. I feel like I would still be doing the business consulting part of it. Cause that's what I love. I think that's where my heart's at.
Yeah. And the next question is, if you had a celebrity business partner for your business now, for Syndicate, who would that person be?
I don't really know. That's a really good question. I'm a big fan of Pink, and she has her own wine label right now down in California. I think it'd be really great to be in business with her.
Yeah, I love Pink.
That would be like the ultimate. So if we had a business partner, I don't know that just unfilteredness of her and knowing that she has her own wine label now that we absolutely cannot carry because she isn't shipped to Oregon yet. That would be the biggest pie in the sky for me.
Yeah, she's really great. I agree with that. If you could form a squad of people dead or alive, who would be in that squad?
I think I'd probably put Michelle Obama in there. Yeah. She's pretty articulate, smart, and pretty good with unifying instead of dividing. That probably, you know, I'd probably take some different people from different walks of life, but that would take a lot of thought. I need some creatives in there. You need some creatives, you need some logicals, you need some thinkers and doers. You have to have your doers in there. People that just get stuff done. I'm pretty blessed with, I'm married to a creative and he knows that I'm a logical thinker. We're different parts of the brain. I don't know. I put a little Ellen DeGeneres in there so we get some humor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of, Christina Kuzmich. She's just living out loud her life. And, as we up there, get a little Jimmy Fallon.
Those are all good choices.
You got to have humor. You've got to have creativity. You got to have your doers. You got to have your philanthropist. You've got to have a little bit of everything to have a fully balanced team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Two more questions. So, number four is, when you reach a certain level of success, what's your splurge or guilty pleasure purchase?
Ours right now, and we've been working on this one, and we actually save in a shoebox in our sock drawer. Our guilty pleasure is to eventually one day get a hot tub.
That's awesome.
And so we've, all the tip money we have received since we opened Syndicate has been going into a shoebox in our sock drawer. And eventually our splurge will be a hot tub. We don't really need or want for many things. We are pretty blessed with the life that we have. But that is one goal of ours that we feel like is definitely a want, not a need. But it is our splurge.
No.
But you'd save a few bucks here, a few bucks there, and that's our splurge.
That would be really nice in the winter.
Yep.
The last question is, what local or national businesses would you like to give a shout out to?
I am a huge fan of Tom and Marianne, Tom Herring and Marianne Harmer. In fact, we just had a social distancing meet and greet with Marianne Harmer, and they run Benefit Corporations for Good. They are our sounding board. They are our advisors. They are everything to us. When we're in the point of tears, we call them. When we want to celebrate, we call them. They have been probably our biggest champion for both companies since the very beginning, on a personal level and a professional level. They're our go-to people.
Yeah, I think they're great too.
Yeah. They check in on us and they celebrate with us, and they also give us some hard truths that sometimes we're not ready to hear ourselves. And
I mean, that's a sign of friendship. It, and true love,
it
is. Right?
And you know, it was definitely, hugs via an elbow bump last night. Cause Marianne, I think she just wanted to make sure that we were doing all right. But I think they love and they guide on a business aspect on such a genuine level that it's, you definitely don't question who they are as individuals and what they hope and dream for you. So yeah, that's my big shout out.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, Angela. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about you and your family. But also I'm really excited about Syndicate 2.0.
Yeah.
I know it's hard, but it sounds like you're more prepared than maybe you give yourself credit for.
It is. It's an absolute journey, and you have no idea where the roads are going to twist and turn along the way. And you just hope that you have the right people with you on your journey that will support, love, and understand failure comes with death. Absolutely. We don't learn unless we fail at something.
Yeah, as you say, yeah. Cheers.
Drink a glass of wine to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's about that time. So Well, thank you so much. You know, I hope you and your husband continue to do the great work that you do and that you have a successful summer. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
A very big thank you to Angela Anderson from Syndicate Wine Bar for chatting with us on today's episode. Be sure to follow them on all social media platforms. And to find out more information, go to syndicatewines.com. And of course, thank you to the sponsors of this episode, Refutees and Home Plate Youth Services. We want to say thank you to you, our listeners, and remind you to subscribe to the podcast on all of your favorite streaming services. Follow us on social media, and for even more information, go to alloftheyourbusinesspodcast.com. All of Your Business Podcast is edited and produced at Track 11 Music in downtown Portland, Oregon.